Thanks for tuning in. From Municipal World, I'm Susan Gardner. This is the MW Shares podcast, where we share your stories, providing insights into the challenges and opportunities facing local governments and communities just like yours. The MW Shares podcast is powered by Shure Microphones.
How would you characterize the relationship that you had with the CAO during your time as mayor?
That's an interesting question and a good one. The relationship I had initially was with the person that was my boss when I was a department head, and the fellow that we had, who's now passed away quite some time ago, the fellow we had was one of these guys, again, with the green visor and the seven pens across the front of his chest. So he's roll up the sleeves, let's do the financial side of it well. You know, he taught me a lot about being fiscally prudent. And we had a fairly good relationship, actually quite a good relationship, until we recognized that we as a community weren't going anywhere. We weren't going to be able to meet the goals that we had unless we'd made a change. So early on, I was having to sit down with our own CAO and saying, I think we're time to retire. We ended up having a water and sewage commission that we got him to be the secretary treasurer of. So it was a good, easy step for him. One step closer to retirement, which in his case, he was at that age anyway. The follow-up was our former city engineer became CAO. We had a wonderful relationship based on trust and respect. He was very, very good at management. He was also very good at understanding the relationship to a council. I would say to him, Gary, wherever I'm at consulting around Canada, and most people don't think about this, but I was a full-time management consultant at the same time as I was a mayor. So that's trying to burn the candle at both ends and halfway through the middle. I would phone him from the Pearson Airport in Toronto and say, Gary, what's happening in Spruce Grove? And my question never was, how are you doing administratively? I presumed he was managing the departments. I presumed he was handling things administratively. He'd had Canadian Air Force's background. He'd had lots of pretty good training as a manager. And he would bring me up to date. I had the premise with him, and he understood that I should not be surprised when I landed at the Edmonton Airport by anybody who was at the airport saying, oh, did you know that? As long as it hadn't happened in the last 4 hours. So the time that I was on the flight, yeah, something could happen that I could be surprised by in Spruce Grove. But other than that, I should have been well briefed. And we had that kind of open, honest, well-briefed mentality so that I kept nudging our council into governance, into keeping in our roles. And it wasn't always easy, that's true. But I knew that we had to make that work. And because I was seeing it right across Canada, where it was simply the opposite. And councils were, you know, really, really struggling with their own administration. In some cases, no respect, no trust, all of that. So I thought we were blessed by who we had in senior management at the time. And again, it's not that that we had an ideal relationship. It's not that we had ideal senior managers, because we didn't. But, you know, we had kind of a growing reality as a young council. I was 29, but, you know, 6 out of 7 council members were around the age of 30, not far off. I was the youngest, but there were council members certainly in my age cohort that we're all kind of learning on the fly. So I was impressed that we did as well as we did, and that we were as prepared as we were to, for the most part. I think we had one exception to the rule, but for the most part, we stayed out of management.
Now, every municipality, of course, has challenges. We know that. And some municipalities, of course, have larger challenges. And so one area I want to talk about is organizational reviews for municipalities. You've done many, many of these, I know, and some of them have been initiated by the municipality, and some of them have been initiated by the province. Most people, I believe, get involved in local government for good reasons. They want to make a difference, but sometimes things do go off the tracks, and in fact, sometimes so far off the tracks that the province steps in and commissions a review. You've been asked to do that a number of times. I'm curious, are there commonalities in these situations? And were there early warning signs that could have been acted on sooner to prevent a breakdown of this kind of magnitude?
Yeah, and as you're aware, I mean, I've now done, I counted them up during this hiatus that we've all had, and I've now done 1,140 some client engagements between seminars and between seminars and studies. I think I've done over 440 studies, the rest being seminars. Of those studies, the vast majority were initiated by the client, mostly municipal council or the provincial government, minister, premier, or department. But in the case of some municipal reviews, I've been called in by the province, which has the authority to commission an external review. I'm appointed as what's called an inspector. I've gone in and done reviews that have been highly sensitive, very problematic. So in some cases, I've recommended dismissing individual members of council, which has happened. I've recommended dismissing the whole council, which has happened. I think an election intervened in that case. I've recommended, obviously, in a number of cases, most people are aware of, dismissing the CAO and or department heads. And of course, that's also happened in a variety of cases, too many for me to want to recount for you. But in the case of being called in by the province is a bit unusual because you're really interfering with local democracy when you're being asked to inspect a municipality or an organization and provide advice. And at the end of the day, I look at it and say, you know, this is an absolute disaster. The only way to address this is to start fresh. And I mean, some of them have been well known. One of them was being used as a course material for the NACLA program, the Municipal Administration Program. One of the courses is based on the review I did for the then town of Lac La Biche, you know, where there were fisticuffs in chambers and in the hallways, where I described them as being a 4-3 council. You had three members of council, including the current mayor, that would meet to discuss council agenda items. You had the other four, so the majority would meet at the previous mayor's hotel and go over the agenda and decide how to vote. So the two groups were meeting independently of each other. They would come together for a council meeting and they would vote 4-3 on everything of substance, so that the mayor was losing every decision on a 4-3 count. Anyway, he wasn't really helping the situation either and has since run into some personal difficulties as well. So you just, you know, all of that was just incredibly difficult. It was headline stories in regional newspapers, and it was high intensity for me, even with my unusual background, it was still high intensity. I think of that situation, I think of the situation with the major health reviews that I've done, you know, where you had 500 people sitting in a community hall arguing in support of their hospital, thinking that I was going to recommend the closing the doors, which I don't think I ever did, but I've done some very emotionally driven kinds of reviews that were caused major challenges, there's no question. So anyway, the result of all of that is that you get a wonderful range of experience dealing with situations that were both troubling as well as in some cases quite exhilarating in terms of being able to take a municipality from a very low level of governance, very low level of management, into a functioning organization.
So were there things you observed in common? Were there common themes to these situations?
You know, I think the one that I started with and the one I would get back to is role clarity. So that would be an underlying theme in almost every one of those situations. The second theme would be a lack of respect between members of council and between council and the mayor. And that's been, unfortunately, an ongoing situation. A third one would be the absence of connectivity to the public. where that's kind of a complete disregard for public input, public involvement, which I think has been very unfortunate. You know, a fourth one, I could go through a whole litany of these, but a fourth one would be the absence of feedback between council and its CAO. A fifth one would be the absence of respect for council to deal through the CAO to the rest of management. And I'm doing a webinar on that this week with the council and its management. Like, how do you encourage council to understand that if you've got one employee called the chief administrative officer, why should you not then be going through the CAO to get development done by or work done by individual department heads? Even having to try to explain that so that people understand the need for respect between council and its management is sometimes very difficult. So those are challenges that, you know, I've noted time and again. You know, seldom is it some obscure issue that pertains to that municipality only. I mean, most of these issues, Sue, are endemic to local governments right across Canada. And I've worked in all 10 provinces and all three territories. And I can tell you that I could give a seminar in Yellowknife, which I did last December, and I could do the exact same one in Bedeck, Nova Scotia, and I'll guarantee you that the audiences would be similarly impressed that I knew what was happening in their own community.
Now we're going to take a short break before getting into the rest of the conversation with George Cuff. Municipal World's executive membership delivers a powerful toolkit for managing Canada's towns and cities. You get the most complete suite of print and online news, plus high-impact communication services and exclusive member content, as well as information to help you and your community stay a step ahead. Executive membership is sized to fit your organization from 5 to 50 users per membership, and members report saving an average of $1,287 per year just on job postings. It's a smart investment that can quickly pay for itself. Become a member today. Does your municipality have COVID-19 resource materials to share with other communities for reference? Examples might include bylaws, communications and news releases, reports, memos to council, to name just a few. Municipal World is managing a central repository for such documents as a resource for the municipal community as they develop their responses to the pandemic. You can log into your account to access the resource page where you can view and contribute documents. You can find it at municipalworld.com/coronavirus-docs. Without further delay, let's jump back into that conversation with George Cuff.
So you have, you've written extensively on this and you've consulted with municipalities extensively on this. Why is it that this council staff relationship remains such a big hurdle for so many local governments to master?
You know, I should be very thankful that it has remained a huge hurdle, because a whole lot of my consulting work is based on me being called in to try to help sort that out. And hopefully in some instances, at least, I've been somewhat successful. I'm noted for being direct and blunt, and I think, quite frankly, that's the only way to get a message across to both council and management. Here's what you need to be doing to make this better. I always go back, Sue, to the beginning. I always go back to sort of, let's talk about where we started in all of this. I think it's pitiful that we have people running for office without any understanding whatsoever of what it means to be an elected official once they get there. They think the biggest challenge is getting elected. And some of them, once they got elected, they stop. And they're so delighted that the public has been wise enough to choose them that they don't realize that that was only stage one, and that there's a whole lot of other stages to follow. So what I do is I ask, when I'm doing a study, one of the fundamental things I request as background information is a copy of the orientation manual or orientation process that's used to bring a council in and to get it ready for operating as an effective elected official body. And I'm absolutely dismayed by what I often find by municipalities. And I think, well, what attention have you paid to getting ready for the results of this election? In fact, I've asked to see and have received a copy of the management meetings leading up to an election. In some cases, you'd never know an election was going to happen. There's no indication of what we're doing as management to get ready for this new council. So I think orientation and some promises now require, but orientation of a council is absolutely fundamental. It has to be done in a thorough way. It has to be done focusing initially on governance. And of course, that's the exact opposite of what 3/4 of the municipalities do, which is to focus on management. Here's what we do as management. Please come in and help us. Well, council is all too anxious and prepared to come in and help management manage. The problem is that's not why they got elected. So I did an article for the Edmonton Journal prior to the last election because I was getting somewhat tired of reading all of the stories about people running for office saying, elect me because I'm a project engineer. I thought, as I wrote, I said, you don't need more project engineers. They've got 12,000 employees in Edmonton. They don't need more employees. What they need is leaders. And you're running for an entirely different position. You're not running for a position of management or because of your expertise as a former firefighter or whatever. I just think that we have really done a very poor, very inadequate job, something Municipal World could tackle. And how do we make sure that we have provided first-class orientation briefing materials so that any new council getting elected from this fall going forward has a much better access to its role as opposed to what it might think it is? So I think that should be done right across Canada. I think there should be very good orientation material. I think you should have orientation seminars. It might sound like I'm trying to sell my services. I'm not, because I'm closer to the end than the beginning. Somebody else will pick up from where I leave off. But I think, we ought to be having regional orientation sessions in every province to at least try to get councils off on the right footing. It's not to say they won't fall back into becoming managers, but at least you've got a better chance of them becoming the kind of elected officials we want them to be. So to me, by the way, it applies also to major communities. Size doesn't seem to matter a whole lot in that regard. You've still got people in significant size communities who, when they speak, they sound like they're trying to duplicate the department head or the city manager. I think it really is a bad judgment on local government generally that we haven't really done a good job of addressing the fundamentals. We've got ourselves involved in all kinds of social issues and so on, and they've taken precedent over how do we become an effective council. So, we've got people that are social workers now on council rather than counselors, and no disrespect to social workers, but that's your background. It's not your role as a counselor. So what are we doing to help guide and develop and direct council members into being the kind of people they should be?
So we often do have folks that end up on council with little understanding of what their role is beforehand. So orientation, of course, can address that to some extent. Do you think there should be some sort of training prior to the election, prior to running for office, to really understand what the role is?
I said to somebody not long ago, I said the best seminar I ever did was in Red Deer, Alberta, and they asked me to do one, and the session was called, "So You're Thinking of Running for Office." And I don't know, I had a very good crowd because it was drawing from regional communities. I can remember the hotel that was at. I think I spent a bit of time convincing people not to run, which might sound counterintuitive, but I said to them, if you've got one big issue that's really upsetting you, that's not good enough, because that one big issue could get dealt with at your very first council meeting. And now you're left with, in those days, another 3 years of council meetings and with issues that you don't care about. What you need to care about is the community, not the one issue. Anyway, I spent a fair bit of time talking roles and responsibilities, and hopefully that would have helped set the stage for anybody getting into local government. I'd argue, Sue, that that's the kind of session that should be done right across Canada. So session called, so you're thinking of running for office. And secondly, I think, again, that orientation should be held with municipalities within 7 to 10 days of an election. And that should happen, again, right across the country. I just think that those things, orientations are so fundamental. Being proactive. I think a second thing, by the way, is that I think municipalities should have in their kit bag a background material so that anybody coming in questioning about running for office or picking up nomination papers should be given a background briefing on what it means to be an elected official. What's the role of the mayor? What's the role of the councillor? What's the role of the chief administrative officer? How frequently do councils meet? How many boards and committees are there? How many might you be appointed to? How often might you be going off to conferences and so on across the country? What are your challenges as being an elected official? How do you handle confidential material? I mean, I could develop a whole list with us simply off the top of my head, but I think if we had some of that in advance, we would either really encourage people to be that much better educated, or we would discourage them from running in the first place, either one of which would be a success.
I want to thank George Cuff for taking the time to chat with us, and thank you for listening. I hope you'll stay tuned for part 3, where George shares his best advice for mayors, councillors, CIOs, and city managers, plus the biggest challenges and opportunities he sees in the time of COVID and beyond. He'll also be sharing a sneak peek at his upcoming new books and what lies ahead. In the meantime, if you'd like to tap into more of George's thoughts on municipal governance, you can find all of his books in the Municipal World Bookshop online at books.municipalworld.com. We'd like to hear your ideas. If you have a topic you'd like to see covered in a future episode, simply drop us an email at stories@municipalworld.com. Also, don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. I'm Susan Gardner for Municipal World, and we'll be back with more stories next week.